the Lord heaven from Jennifer Roy. So we'll continue to be praying for Jennifer. Pastor, would you mind making your way up here? And I want to just take just a moment and thank your church. And I know that Pastor Webster's church, he is Forest Ministries, is kind of scattered amongst us. And I love that. I think that's so great. This is what heaven's going to be like. You know, we're all going to be together because we're all coming into one congregation for one purpose. And that's our Savior. But I told the first service that there are people. And Pastor, come on up here. Starts wandering around if you're not careful, you know. I know without a doubt that God brought our family to Luray for Mount Carmel, or to be a part of Mount Carmel. And I've told people all the time that Mount Carmel has done more for me and has changed me far more than I have ever even come close to doing anything for Mount Carmel. However, I also know, and I fully 100% believe, that God brought me to Luray not just for this church, but because of a relationship that God wanted to give me through this man. One thing you may not understand, and I probably didn't understand it either when I came in January of 2017, but when I became your pastor, I lost something. I lost a pastor. Like, when you become the pastor, you don't have a pastor anymore. And God has gifted me a pastor. This man has become a very, very dear friend of mine, but not just a friend and not just someone who encourages me, but someone who points my heart to Jesus Christ at times when it could very easily not be pointed to Jesus. There's two particular conversations that I know that that God has used your voice, Pastor Webster, to direct my heart in a very different way or different direction than I would have if I hadn't met you. The first was the first time we ever talked. It was, I think, November of 2017, so not quite 3 years ago, but I can't do math in my head. But I sat down with Pastor Webster, and we talked about many things, and then he said this. He said, I've been praying, and I'm continuing to pray that God will bring more people to Page County for his glory than visit the Luray Caverns. Now, the Luray Caverns has about 500,000 people a year. That's 500,000 people come to Page County just to visit some caverns. And this man's vision was so grand that he said, I believe that there is something that can be done in this valley that is going to be far greater than some underground caverns, and that is a display of the glory of God like we've never seen before. And ever since he said that, I've prayed for that. And I've made that a part of what I regularly pray for God. It doesn't have to be through me. It doesn't have to be through this church. However God wants to work, I want to see God show up, right? But secondly, just a couple of months ago, with all the racial issues that have taken place and the tension that's in our nation, facing our nation, one of my first calls was to Pastor Webster, and I was like, so Pastor, just give me your input on what you feel. We see Black Lives Matter, we see riots, and we see looting, and we see Confederate statues being taken down, and all kinds of things happening, and how do you see this? And his first words to me were, well, he went, well, the Apostle Paul says that I'm to be crucified with Christ. And if I'm crucified, it makes me a dead man. And dead men don't get offended. Whew. So that statement has changed a lot of my thinking, not just in the racial issue, but in so many other areas of my life where it's so easy for me to get my spirit up and offended because someone doesn't think I'm as valuable as I think I am. Someone doesn't think I'm doing as good of a job as I think I'm doing. Someone thinks I should be doing something other than what I am doing. It's so easy for me to rise up in defense, and all I keep thinking is, I'm a dead man. And dead men don't get offended. You've changed the course of my life multiple times, and I'm so grateful for what God has done in bringing us together and bringing our congregations together, and it's all for His glory and for His honor. And would you let me pray with you before you preach this morning? Father, I'm so grateful for this man, and I know that he and I are both just simple servants of Yours, along with everybody else inside of this room. We just want to live for Your honor and for Your glory. You could do with us whatever You want to. We're just clay in the potter's hands, and we understand that. But God, I want to say very much thank You for creating this man when You did, and the purpose of creating him. I know that I wasn't the purpose, but I was a part of it. And Lord, You have used him in incredible ways to point me to Your goodness, to Your glory, to Your love for humanity. And Father, I pray that You would speak through His Spirit directly to our hearts. Lord, we seek peace. We can't seek peace without seeking the Prince of Peace. And I know that that's where we'll be pointed today. And Lord, we want a nation full of love, and we want to try to conform men's and ladies' hearts into thinking specific ways, but that's never going to work. It's got to be a transformation through the work of Jesus. And I pray that You would please speak through my friend, my brother, my pastor, and I pray that You would glorify Yourself through his words, and that we would leave today not just simply hearing more about You, but Lord, that we would be stirred in our hearts to live in greater ways for You, because we see a greater love for us. We love You. Thank You, Jesus, for the way that You loved us first. In Your name I pray. Amen.
Well, don't know who he's talking about, but anyway, we'll be praying for that brother. If you're not in the Spirit of Christ, and to your wonderful pastor, I thank the Lord for the privilege and honor just to come again and share the word and sit in the first service. I'm concerned about the church. It's not talking about the building. I'm concerned about God's people. He said there are a lot of things that commotion is going on in the land, and because of that, it causes distractions. And because of distractions, sometimes we can be pulled in to what's happening. But when God spoke to the children of Israel, he said that you are a chosen generation, you're a peculiar people. He said, I did not choose you because you were many, but I chose you because you were few. I find it's not about the majority of the people that rules the world. It's about minority that God is their God. You can get done more with a few people whose minds are together than the masses, a multitude of people. As I said earlier, I'm concerned because I believe that the church is being pulled in to the activities that's around us, and our focus sometimes can be pulled so far that we forget our purpose. Our purpose is to make a difference, and as he was saying about the different things that are going on, and I said, you know, back earlier that we understand there is a lot of racial tension, and we want to try to change people from the outside, but you cannot change people from the outside. You can remove all the things that offends people, but if their heart's not changed, as far as they're concerned, what they still stood for is still standing. Because it's not physically, their heart has not been changed. But one thing that Jesus Christ, many things Jesus Christ, not one thing, but many things Jesus Christ came to do, first of all, is to change man's heart. The book of Jeremiah says man's heart is desperately wicked, and who can know it? So sometimes a heart can deceive us. That's why Jesus Christ said he came to give us a heart transplant, and that we are who said we would be. That being said, as I said in the first service, last night I was on Facebook, of all books. I know none of y'all are like that, but anyway, sometimes you got to live. We live in a world, the Word of God says we live in a world, but we're not of the world, but we do make a difference. And what we say, whether you believe or not, makes can make a conflict. And that's why they want to silence the church's mouth. Matter of fact, one of the reasons I believe goals is to try to shut down the church, and people get used to sitting home that they won't come back, and they believe by doing that the church will not be near as effective. And unfortunately, I hope none of us have got that mindset. I don't have to go to church anymore now. I can see Pastor on Facebook or live stream. I can sit in my pajamas and drink my coffee and eat my donut and keep my money and don't have to go to church. And it's a trick of the enemy, but those of us who have the mind of Christ, we still have to take a stand that we're not going underground yet. It might come to that one of these days, and I think that's where it's heading. But the reality, when you know that Jesus Christ is on your side, he said that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. So we have a voice, and I want you to know today that we need to refocus our mind back on the Great Commission, which is found in Mark, when Jesus Christ said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He didn't say preach your feelings. He didn't say preach your thoughts. He didn't say preach your politics. He didn't say preach your views. He said preach the gospel, because the gospel is what really needs to set man's heart free. We're living in that time that every man and every woman is looking for a solution to the world situation, and they think man can do it. Well, I'm here to tell you today, man cannot do it. Paul said in 2 Corinthians, I think, chapter 4, one of those books there, I know it's in Corinthians, so read the whole chapter, the whole book, you'll find it. But he said, the natural man does not receive the things of God because they are spiritually discerned. So one of the things I believe that the church needs to come back to is discernment. And that's one of the things we're going to talk about today. As I said, I was on Facebook. Sorry, I forgot my thought, didn't you? I was on Facebook, and I saw this little write-up. Matter of fact, one of my schoolmates wrote it. He said his grandson was out playing soccer and said they was bumping each other and hitting each other. But when the game's over, it said they couldn't shake hands. It said they have to fist bump. And they said, you know, what? Well, if they had that much contact, what's the difference in shaking a hand? Duh. But anyway, so someone said, well, you know, it said the same way. It said they're trying to solace the church. It said the churches, they can't sing anymore. They can't have hymn no books. You can't sing, you know. And they said, I believe the church is, they're trying to kill the church, or the church is going to die. So when they said the church was going to die, something sparked inside of me. Sometimes you can keep your mouth shut, and I find many times that's why a lot of a lot of Christians get in trouble, because they get on Facebook and they try to argue with natural people. And as I told them in the first service, sometimes you think that old man's dead, but there's somebody that always can push your button. And it only takes that one person. Next thing you done got caught up in that conversation, then lost your Christianity, so to speak, and next thing you know, you express it yourself. That's not the way God intended to be. So that being said, when they said that, I was reminded of what Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. And Jesus said, he said, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. So when he said I will build, it means it's a process. When you think about building, first of all, you have to dig down in the ground and lay a foundation. You have to, depends on how big the building is, it determines how deep your foundation is. And you must understand, when God calls you to be a servant of Jesus Christ, and many times when we meet Jesus, we make these proclamations because sometimes it's our emotions and we get excited and say, Lord, send me anywhere you want to send me. Then he tells you to leave your family and go to a country that you know not of, and all of a sudden, you done change your mind. But see, when you say that, you must understand he requires for your foundation to be built a little bit deeper than the average person, because what you're doing is that you're going to have to deny more things than the average person. So for him to build you, your foundation has to be deeper. Amen? So when Jesus said, I'm going to build my church, first of all, he was talking about Peter. And the reason Peter responded, or the reason why Christ responded to the way Peter answered the question was, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they gave different answers. But Peter, bless his little heart, he had the right answer. And he thought all of a sudden, that came from me. But Jesus said, no, Peter, he says, you didn't know that. You didn't get that out of Webster's Dictionary? Amen? Thank you, Webster Dictionary, Archie Webster. Anyway, Webster Dictionary. He said, but flesh and blood did not reveal that to you. It came by divine revelation. And since we find that revelation is what I believe many times that we can lack in reading God's word, we have to ask God, give me revelation, give me insight, show me something nobody else is seeing. And I see that so prevalent in the time that we're living. We look at the world, and I see so many men and women running to and fro, and they already made up their mind who we want to be the next leader of this nation. I understand we need leadership. I'm not knocking that one bit. But we can't get so far to the right that we forget that the one that created you and I, whose breath you are breathing in your lungs now, even as you sit in here, is the one that's going to solve our problems. So what we need is, Lord, give me insight of how I'm supposed to be selecting a leader. It's not about my selfish motives, because see, a lot of times people are moved by selfishness. That's why what the world is fighting now. Everybody wants what you got. Well, let me break that down to you. They say, well, we can't stand rich people. I think they ought to give it to the poor people. I said, well, that's the way I look at it. Personally, I think you need rich people. I had never seen a poor person work for another poor person. Have you? Is that right? Thank you. One amen. That's reality. But because of the old nature, when you're selfish, you want to take something from somebody that has worked all their lives for, that got up early in the morning, denied themselves a lot of other things so they could provide for their families. So we want to take from you because it's not fair that you have everything. But Jesus said, don't get caught up in that. Because see, I got a kingdom. I'm trying to get into this earth realm. There's no lack where I'm at. So he was saying to Peter, he said, Peter, I'm going to build my church. But see, there's some things in your life, Peter, I'm not pleased with. I know you got the right motive. You got some revelation. But see, if you read further down in this chapter, Peter, he got so excited, and Jesus begins to say, no, I got to go to the cross and die. And Peter said, no, Lord, not so. Because he had got a revelation of who he was. Now he's going to tell Jesus how to run the world. You don't have to die, Lord. Never let it be far. Then Jesus turned to the first one he said earlier and said, get behind me, Satan. Because you don't know the things that God has planned for this earth and for the people in the earth. So today we want to talk about revelation knowledge. We need a revealing of God's word that it comes alive in our spirit. When we get alone and you take your time to sit down and read the word, I ask God, Lord, show me something. You know, let me see something I haven't seen before. Because see, I see the world situation, and I believe that the church makes a difference. I don't care what they say about the church. I don't care how messed up some of the church might be. I still believe what Jesus said. Upon this rock, I will build my church. You and I are the church. That's who we are. And because sometimes we get so caught up in the things, looking at the news, we begin to speak just like the world. Excuse me, not we. People begin to speak just like the world. I don't know what we're going to do. Things are sure are bad. Well, if we read the book, I'm not talking about just any book. If we read the book, which is the Word of God, it said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, it said, knowing this, in the last day, perilous times shall come. Well, it was written back thousands of years ago. They were having the same problems we are having right now. The Word of God says there's nothing new under the sun. There's nothing new under the sun. I don't even care. I don't even care. What kind of talk is that? But I don't even care if you got cell phones or whatever. There was a generation, I believe, years ago had the same thing that you have right now. And so how can you say it? Because the Word of God said there's nothing new under the sun. We find now Jesus talking to Peter. He says, Peter, upon this rock, I will build my church. And the gates of hell, verse 19, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Excuse me, verse 18. And verse 19, he said, I give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Now, And he said, whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosened in heaven. In other words, he said, I'm giving you some keys. Keys represent ownership. Keys represent something that you need to start your car with. Now, back in the old days, you didn't need a key. That's how old I am. Had a little button there, you just push the button. Car would start. Times have changed. Now you need keys. God has given us keys through his son, Jesus Christ. So he says, you have authority in this earth realm. He said, it is left up to you. That's what he said in verse 19. He said, whatever you bound on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. The Amplified says this, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind, declare to be improper and unlawful on earth, must be what is already bound in heaven, and whatever you loose, declare lawful on earth, must be what is already loosened in heaven. So, he said, I'm going to give you some keys. I'm going to give you some authority so we can speak in this earth realm. We can speak over our family. Don't care how crazy our families may be acting, we can speak over and say, Satan, you will not have my family because I give you the authority to speak that. So we find that we have to speak the word over our circumstances. I speak to this coronavirus. It should not come near my dwelling, according to Psalm 91. Now, some people say, well, you really believe that. Well, why are we here? Why do people get up out of their beds on Sunday morning and come to church? Because sometimes in America, it becomes habit. It's what we do on Sunday. We might, excuse the expression, we might live like hell all week long, but we're going to church on Sunday. That does not work. Church is a place that we come as the body of Christ, that we begin to pour into each other, begin to lift each other up, and encourage you that you can make it. I know it looks bad. I know you're going through a rough time, but see, I've been some places where some of you been. I've been there, and I've seen God move on my behalf. I can tell you many stories. Ain't an old day, but I can tell at least one or two. There was a time I had some financial struggles. Imagine that. Anyway, I was working at Dunn & Bush at the time, and I needed some money. I was working, but just didn't have enough money. Nobody's had that problem, but listen to me. Don't feel sorry for me. I'm not giving you a sorry luck story here. But I went down to the bank at lunchtime and told them I need a certain amount of money, and they looked at me like I had a disease. They didn't mind saying no. I've heard no before, but that day, no bothered me. So I left there, went back to the plant, went upstairs to my private room, stall number 3, closed the door, and I prayed. Went back downstairs, called the bank, and the guy answered the phone, said, come on down, I want to talk to you. Went back to the bank after I worked, and I got more money than I really needed. Because again, it says, I give you the keys to the kingdom. So it means that God moved on the heart of the man. So we as a church, we understand this is what God does for us. That he said, whatever we will loose on heaven, we're already loose on earth, be loose in heaven. In other words, finances, you know, I'm not here to preach a prosperity message, so don't get excited. I'm not going to ask you to sow a seed, all right? I'm not going there. But what I'm saying is that when we begin to understand God's word, when we begin to understand the authority he has given us in this earth realm, that we can speak to the situation, so we can speak to this virus. We don't know when it's going to end, but I'm here to tell you it's going to end. It's a time right now, I believe God wants the people of God, because see again, as everyone knows, 2 Corinthians 7:14, it says, if my people, which is you and I, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and seek his face and turn from their wicked ways, he said, then I would hear from heaven and heal the land. That's what his word says. So evidently, we all have to be of the same mind. Unfortunately, we're not of the same mind. And I'm not pointing the fingers at anybody. But what I'm here to say this morning, when he said, I give you revelation, I've come to the revelation that Jesus Christ can do above what I can think or ask of him. The last scripture is found in Galatians. And be my first closing. As I look over my glasses. Now these are the words of the Apostle Paul, and you know Apostle Paul's story. Everybody knows he wasn't Paul all the time; he was Saul. But see, the unique thing about God, as I read and study, God said God foreknew us. In other words, he knew us before we knew us. That makes sense. He foreknew us. So I always tell people, evidently we must exist in somewhere else. If somebody foreknow you, it had to be somewhere. I told him the other day, I said, you know, when I was here the first time, I think I was a butterfly, but now that I'm a human being, you know, some people teach that stuff. I'm just joking on that one. But anyway, but he foreknew Paul because, again, Paul understood that he was real religious, and Paul knew that he thought he was doing what was right because he was raised that way. But when he had that encounter with Jesus Christ on the way to Damascus, it changed his life. Now, the amazing thing about that conversion that Paul went through, you read in one chapter where he got delivered and set free, and a couple of chapters over, he's preaching the gospel. And everybody thinks they were just that quick. It doesn't happen that way. You know, many times in our life, when God starts to work in our lives, we don't reach where we need to be at many years. It takes preparation. It takes dying to self. All right, so now Paul is writing. Matter of fact, Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament because God knew exactly what he was getting. Did you know that? When God chose you, he knew exactly what he was getting. Because I know some of us, including myself sometimes, say, Lord, why did you choose me? You know how I am. Well, I'm glad you told me, pot of clay. I'm glad you told me that. I didn't know that. Oh, he knew you. And he still knows that. But he knew, he said, you know, when he told Ananias, I want you to go and pray for Saul at that time. Because I want you to pray that he can receive his sight. Of course, Ananias said, now look, Lord, I love you. Webster translation. He said, I love you, but I heard how he is persecuting the church. But this is what Jesus said about him. He said, he is a chosen vessel for me. I want you to know, you know, as I listened to my brother talking, as he was giving his testimony, and I understand what he was saying, he said, when I left, because he told me he wanted to be a pastor. Now that he's a pastor, I'm not saying he's changed his mind, but now that he's a pastor, I'm sure he's learned some things that he never experienced as a youth pastor. But see, God already had that planned out. He said, I know, Brian, you need somebody to guide you, and I'm going to send you to a place that you probably don't want to even go. Have you ever told God where you don't want to go, and then he turned around and tell you that's where you're going? But don't argue with him because you're still going to do it. But he said, also, I know that you need some mentoring. I know you need somebody that is seasoned. And I'm not patting myself on the back, by no means. Because I know there are things in my life I struggle with. I know that's hard for a pastor to say, you struggle with stuff, pastor? I thought the Lord lived at your house and drank coffee and ate donuts with you every morning. Well, he doesn't do that every morning. But he also knew, said, Brian, I know that I'm going to move you out of an area that you're used to and put you in a place that's going to make you uncomfortable. But I see I created you for a time such as this. I put something in you that cannot be pulled out of you unless I get you into the right place. Because, see, when God gets you in the right place, there's deep stuff down inside of us that God has placed in us that has not been a demand on to be pulled out of us, if you can understand what I'm saying. I know that's a little heavy for some of us. Say, man, where did you get this guy from? Well, I'm just talking when I feel the Spirit is saying to me. So when God sent him here, he knew that he needed somebody to be someone he could talk to. Because, see, you must understand one thing. Pastors are the only one to understand pastors. Because I have members tell me, if I was a pastor, this is what I would do. And I tell them, that's why you're not the pastor. Amen. It's a God-given gift. So now God is saying this about the Apostle Paul. Now, Apostle Paul has given his life to Jesus Christ, but now he's reminding of people. He says, you know what? In chapter 1 and verse 11 of Galatians, Paul said these words. But I certify, brethren, you brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. In other words, so when I preach it now, I used to preach it after the tradition of the elders. I was taught that way. I was put in that mold, and I was shaped that way. Well, I can relate to that because, see, I came out of an organization, and we have to preach a certain style. Well, I knew very well the kid does not fit the mold. I have an identity. God made everyone sitting here different from everyone else because you're special. You don't have to imitate anybody. The easiest job that you ever have is being yourself. So many people are upset because they want to be somebody else. Well, you can't be somebody else. Just be who you are and let Christ mentor you and mold you and shape you to what he knows you can do. So Paul is saying now, brother, he said, the gospel that I preach, he said, it's not after a man. For neither I received it a man, neither was taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. He said, I got a revelation. I got something that no man taught me. That's the same way about every person that is a Christian. Yes, we all get saved. Jesus Christ comes in, changes us. And sometimes, as I said earlier, in the first service, sometimes we like to live on other people's reputation or, other people's experience. But you and I have to have an experience for ourselves. I can remember my grandfather, before I came into the light, I can remember him saying many times, he was saying, I once was blind, but now I see. And I thought to myself, I had never known that man be blind. Ever since I've known him, he's always talking about he's blind. Well, I had no idea what he's talking about. He was talking about spiritual. In other words, he got a revelation because he too was religious. If it was one snowflake that fell out of the sky, it's too bad to go to church. He ain't going Sunday on snow. But that same snowflake could fall on the ground, and he was a chain smoker. Never got too bad. Matter of fact, I've seen him go through snow, deep snow, just to get to support that habit. But when God got a hold of his heart and changed him, we used to come across this mountain back in the day when you had to get down in the snow and put chains on. I know some of y'all know what chains are. The chains are going. It's not talking about those chains, okay? It's talking about the chains you put on the top. I can remember him getting down in the snow, and he's coming across this mountain, and I knew I was a prophet then. I was a prophet. I just knew it's just going to be us. Sure enough, got there, it was us. But I didn't understand, had no revelation of what he was talking about. It's because he got a revelation that he said his heart was, I want to see lost souls saved. And that should be the commission or the mission of the church of today. We can't get so wrapped up in politics and so wrapped up. We're not going to change the world, but do not allow the world to change you. He said that you are a chosen generation, you are a royal priesthood, and he said, I gave my precious blood for each one of you because I put something in you that somebody needs pulled out of you. But you have to do it his way. So Paul said, you know, I got a revelation. No man taught me this, but he said, I got it by revelation Christ. Down verse 15, he said, but when it pleased God, who separated from my mother's womb, and call me by his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen. Don't look at anybody. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither I went up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again into Damascus. He said, look, I didn't ask somebody, do you think God called me to preach? I know sometimes I like to have a second opinion. Well, my opinion, if you don't know, I sure can't tell you. Well, what do you think, brother? Well, I'm not sure. I thought, you know. No, Paul said, I know. He said, I didn't ask anybody else. He said, I know I've been called. You got to understand. You know that you're called to do what you're called to do. You got to know it. And once you know it, yes, you're going to face some obstacles. You're going to face some tests and trials. And the Word of God said it's going to be the trying of your faith. I believe by God, I am Luray, sent to Luray when I didn't want to come. Back then, as I said, we had capital punishment. They told you, get in the car. It was not for a debate. It was, I ain't. That'd be the last time you say it. So I learned it one time. I don't remember those talkings, brothers and sisters. But I do remember those, as we call, beatings. They stuck with me. They did not kill me. They molded me, and they helped to shape my character. Amen? So Paul was saying, I know what I've been through, and I know how I wasted the church one time, but the thing I fought against now is my very heart. And it must come, that same spirit must come back to the house of God. We have to have a heart for the lost. I look at the world, and they are trying to solve a problem with the man's natural mind. It is not going to happen. They can legislate everything they want to make it better for some of the people. But if their heart is not changed, all they're doing is going through the motions. I'm here to tell you this morning, we're not going through the motion. This is a heart thing. I love God not because of what I can get from Him. I love God because of what He's done for me. And I'm sure each one sitting out there looking at me, God has done something for you. Amen? Now, I don't know if I shared this once, twice, or three times I've been here, but I might have. But back in 2010, I was diagnosed with prostate cancer. Everybody at church has heard this. Oh, here we go again. Got to hear that. It's my testimony. It's mine. Amen. When something is yours, you don't care how tired they get tired of hearing it. It's mine. So when I went back to Martinsburg, West Virginia, to get the results of the biopsy, I walked into the doctor's office, walked in full of vitality, full of joy. And the doctor looked at me and said, "How you doing today?" I said, "I'm doing great, doc." He said, "Well, I got some bad news for you." I said, "What is it, doc?" He says, "You got prostate cancer." And I said, "So?" And when I said, "So," the look on his face, it was as though it said, and he said, "That don't bother you?" "No." Because, see, I have a revelation. There's some things God has called me to do, as well as you, and you're not going anywhere. Unless you decided to take your own life. I hope you don't do that. But there's some things I haven't done yet. And when I told him that didn't bother me, he was not happy with that. He could not accept the fact this is not normal. Well, brothers and sisters, what I'm trying to tell you today, when you and I walk in what God called us to walk, we are going to seem kind of strange to the world. How come y'all not worried about what's going on? Because, see, I believe that the angel of the Lord, it said the angel of the Lord encamped around about them that fear him. I got angels around me. You got angels around you. And you're not going anywhere until God gets ready for you to go. Amen? But I don't want to leave this earth rim without, I don't want to leave full. I want to empty out. I want to do everything God gave me to do while I'm here. Amen? So to finish the story, the doctor wasn't satisfied with that. But a wife. He said, "You come here by yourself?" I said, "No, sir, I didn't." I said, "The wife's here." "The weaker vessel." "Let me call her in here." She comes in, and the doctor says, "Your husband has cancer." And, you know, she responded the way I was supposed to respond. Well, you know, she got that look on her face. All them bills. Anyway. So I said, "Doc," after, you know, he talked to her and got her, you know, in a frenzy. I said, "Doc, what do you think I should do?" He said, "Well, be me." He said, "I take radiation treatments. "Okay, doc, that's exactly what we'll do." So we left the office, and the wife, in her humble and concern about her husband, because of the bills, she said, "No, didn't." She said, "That don't bother you?" I thought, "Is our parakeet around here somewhere?" I just heard that somewhere. "Oh, that's what that guy in the office said." So she said she wanted to talk to me. Got downstairs, went to the cafeteria, repeated again. That don't bother you? I said, no, ma'am, don't bother me. Now, it's the average person, excuse me, I know what an average person is, but a lot of people wouldn't believe it. But I really had peace in my heart. I did. So I went through the radiation treatments, got the final report. I am cancer-free. Amen. And the reason I'm cancer-free is because I believe His Word. His Word said, by His stripes, we are healed. The world needs to hear your testimony. They're hearing all the bad stuff, how bad it is, don't know who's going to get in, what we're going to do. I'm here to tell you it doesn't make any difference come November who's sitting down there in that White House. I know who's sitting on the throne. The King of Kings and the Lords of Lords. So today, I want you to understand God loves you. He's not done with your life. You know, many times, I am getting up in age, as they say. 72 years old, anyway. But sometimes I look at my age, and I thought, man, there's a lot of things I'm learning as we mature. You just can't do what you used to do. Okay, for those who understand the word mature, those are getting older. How's that? I was out throwing dirt in a ditch that they dug a water line. I've been covering it up a little bit of time. I just can't do it like I used to do. And I began to look at the purpose of my life. And then the word purpose. In other words, God is not concerned about age. Well, God's more concerned about purpose. I'm not going anywhere until I fulfill my purpose. And I want you to know this church is here on this lot to win many souls to the children. Thank God you got to get the children small now because the world is getting them. Their vices, their minds, they're captivated, they're fascinated with gadgets. Very few parents, they don't even send their children to church anymore. They don't go and send the kids. I want that old religion on me. But thank God there are some in this valley that believes that revival is coming to this valley, and I believe with my whole heart, and I believe I'm going to live to see it. So today I just want to thank you for your time. I hope something was said that encouraged your hearts, because we're helpers one of another. I need you, and you need me. Thank you. We're one big happy family. Father God, Lord, today I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, for the man of God that you sent here. I thank you, Lord, for those that surround him, that supports him. I pray, Lord, that they will continue to pray for their pastor. But Father, many doesn't know many things that he faces. But many times we can't say what's going on. But Lord, I thank you, Lord, that he is at the right place and the right time for this season. And I pray, Lord, that you meet every need that he has, that you do above what he can think or ask. And I pray, Lord, that you just give him a deeper walk with you. Give him wisdom, give him understanding, give him discernment. Lord, I just pray, Lord, for this church body. I pray, Lord, to continue, Lord, to show love to the community. I pray, Lord, that we as the body of Christ, we come together in the unity of the Spirit, that we be the church that you said that you're coming for, not having spot or wrinkle. But this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Would you